Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 60.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
Today on the podcast, we talk with Blue Jays minor league players Josh Palacios and Tyler Olander. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. We're brought to you by the 2017 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the premium content section of Blue Jays From Away. This year's edition features profiles of over 250 players in the Toronto Blue Jays organization while giving you all of the information you need to follow the Blue Jays minor leaguers in action. The premium content section has photos, video, and scouting reports to supplement the profiles. The 2017 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the Blue Jays From Away premium content section. We've got you covered. Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm joined by Josh Palacios, outfielder for the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system. Welcome to the podcast, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's Florida. It's sunny. It's not, you know, minus 20 degrees Celsius like it has been in Canada a little bit. You can see I'm quite sunburned already, so after my first day out here. So I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm from New York, so being in this nice weather is definitely a blessing, man. It's just nice.
So when did you get down to Florida from New York?
I got here on February 16th. I was able to escape most of the snow and got down here to 70 degrees and sunny and be by the pool and all that after practice. So it's nice.
So what's it like to come down? It was, you know, I guess you were at home for the break and staying up there. What's it like when you get down and you finally get back into playing baseball outside again?
It's a good feeling because when you're at home and you're on break and everything, it's kind of just anxious and you're itching to get out on the field and be able to get out and play. Like most of what we do is like the gym and the batting cages, work out in the gym, hitting the cages. So getting out here and getting on the field, it just felt good because I was just kind of fiending to get out here.
Now, when you're up in New York, what are you doing? You're in the, you know, cages hitting up there and you're sort of throwing in a gym?
Yeah, for the most part, we work out in either a basketball gym and we do our throwing and do type of running in there. Or we get into the gym and we lift weights and then we go to the cages. That's mainly like what we do on a typical offseason in New York.
And did the Blue Jays give you a very specific, program to follow when you left after instructional league?
Yeah, they gave a decently specific program, but I also had a trainer that I've been working with since I was about 14. And then I work with him and we incorporate what they have and what I feel that I need to work on and progress in, and then I get after that.
So you're from New York. What part of New York are you from?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, New York City.
And so how does a Brooklyn kid, you know, I know baseball, it's probably a lot of basketball there, isn't there? And yeah, baseball is a little tougher up in the north. So how do you sort of get funneled into the baseball system as opposed to basketball?
Well, for me, my whole family played baseball and it's just like a family business. But people may not know baseball is also big in New York City. There's a lot of Latins in New York City that come from Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. So like my family, my grandfather came from Puerto Rico. My mom came from Curacao, and those are both huge baseball countries. And when you come to New York, you got a bunch of people who came from all those countries, and baseball is just played how it is back at home in Puerto Rico and Curacao.
Now, I've heard that your uncle played in the majors, and your dad, I think, played in the minors.
Yes.
So were they the guys that you looked up to growing up as the guys you wanted to be like?
Yeah. My dad and my uncle were my two heroes, and it was kind of just like a family business since I was young. Before I could walk, there's a story that my grandfather bought me a bat and a tee. It was a little too big for me at the time, but he said once he could walk, he'll be able to swing that thing.
So who taught you how to swing once you were old enough to walk?
It was my father was there with me every day, and then when he go to work, I just hit off the tee, and little did I know it would pay off in the end. But started off at young.
Now, when you got to high school, were you already being, you know, said, okay, he's a guy who's got, you know, family who played pro ball, you know, we want him on the high school team, and we got to get him in summer ball, and you know, were there any teams sort of lining up to try to get you to play for them?
Well, in New York, there's three main teams. There's the Bonnies, Youth Service, and the Grays. So as growing up, you play in the PGL, and you just kind of know which team you're going to roll with from there. So I started off with the Bonnies. That's where my whole family had played. Then my uncle made an organization, the Sale Grays, the student athlete youth organization, geared towards like getting guys into college and helping them get to pro ball if they can. And that was my choice right there, because I wanted to further my education and then hopefully play professional baseball.
So you actually did go to college. You know, what did you get out of college? What was your experience like? You know, how did you enjoy your time there?
College was great. I got to definitely learn how to mature, live on my own, which was a big thing. And especially going to junior college, you kind of just live on your own for real. You live with families and things like that. But Auburn was just amazing. Auburn was just an amazing place. I loved every bit of it. The money they had, the facilities they had in there, it was just a tremendous place.
I mean, people speak of Auburn mainly for their football team. I guess the baseball team is not as well known. What was it like playing there and sort of maybe being, you know, not as big a celebrity as some of the football players might have been?
It was still cool because you still got our fans, and the people of Auburn, they support whoever's in season at the time. So I know the football players are real, real celebrities. But in terms of when the baseball season came around, they treated us like major leaguers. It was amazing.
Now, speaking of major leaguers, you spent a few days up at the major league camp. Can you tell us what that was like?
It was real nice up there, man. The major leagues is definitely where you want to be at. They had good food, you get paid well, and it was just nice to be around all the big dogs like Batista and Tulo. And it was really surprising how down to earth those guys were and how easy it was to talk to them and how easy it was to learn things that they were teaching me.
Was there anyone in particular who, you know, I won't say went out of his way, because I'm sure they're all kind of they're doing the thing that they need to do to get ready for the season, but you know helped you a bit, gave you a bit of advice, talked to you about, you know, hitting, fielding, anything like that?
Well, Jose Bautista definitely was like a stand-up guy. He went out his way, went there, went next to me and was like talking to me and teaching me little things here and there that could really help me down the road in my career, and I really appreciated that.
Now let's talk a bit about your career so far, because it hasn't been long, but it's been distinguished. So you were drafted last year in the fourth round and signed on with the Blue Jays, and you played a little bit down in the Gulf Coast League, and what happened after that?
Well, Gulf Coast League is just trying to rehab, and after that, just got a taste of pro life, and I loved it, just grinding every day, learning from all these greats like Tim Raines and Carlos Delgado, and having all these great instructors helping you out. It's just amazing, and it just helped me kind of take off to where I got to.
And what was your reaction when they told you were going to Vancouver?
It was a nice experience. That was the first time that I ever got called up, and I always remember that. It was nice. I got out the heat a little bit here into some better weather in Vancouver, and I was just excited to get going.
Was it a big shock to the system when you got to Vancouver and there's, you know, 5,000 people in the stands every night, as opposed to down here where there's not too many people?
Well, I got a little, I got used to it in Auburn. I had a little taste of that. So when I got to Vancouver, it was just nice. It was a lot different than the GCL, but it kind of reminded me of my days back at Auburn.
And what were you thinking about when you were playing in Vancouver? Because, you know, you did win the Offensive Player of the Year award from the Canadiens. I hope they give you a nice trophy for that. So, you know, they gave you that award, and you spent some time there. And sort of what were you thinking about? What were you working on as a hitter? Because obviously you were very successful up there.
Well, one of the main things I was working on as a hitter was getting the right pitch. And as they've been preaching to us here, like Wes says all the time, hunt the fastball. So jumping on the fastball and just playing offense instead of being in defense from the pitcher. So working on that really helped me elevate my game in terms of my approach and what type of pitches I were hitting.
And how about in the outfield? You said you were working with Tim Raines, and what kinds of things are you working on as an outfielder?
Oh, well, Tim Raines is great, man. There's so much insight that he's been feeding into us. And one of the main things that me and him been working on are, like, outfield jumps, getting off, getting your jump off the bat, because that really helps. That helps the extra two steps you may miss the ball or the extra two steps that you may catch it.
Well, that's great to hear. And then, you know, halfway, or not halfway, but towards the end of the season, you got another promotion, and you went to the Lansing Lugnuts, where, you know, speaking to Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, the Lugnuts broadcaster and media fellow, you know, having talked to him, he was very impressed by the three, I guess, offensive players who came right into the Lansing lineup, you and J.B. Woodman and Kevin Biggio. He was really impressed by all three of you, and all three of you really did well up there. You know, what was it like going up that level and then all three of you having that success?
Oh, it was pretty cool, especially that we all got drafted together and we all kind of moved together. It was nice. And the main focus was to just try to get to the playoffs. Unfortunately, we didn't. So I think us just pushing hard, competing hard to try to get to the playoffs just helped propel our success.
So do you expect to be back in Lansing this year to see a little bit more of that Midwest League?
Well, and I've been taught as young, you never know where you're going to go. So you just play, and wherever they put you, you just play as hard as you can.
What did you think about playing up in the Midwest League?
Oh, it was nice up there. I heard it's cold early, but something I'm used to from New York. But it was nice. There's the parks get better as you move up. Obviously, the food gets better, and there's a little more fans.
Well, I'll tell you, from last year, I was supposed to go to their opening weekend series in Lansing and in Great Lakes, and it was snowed out. So I think three of the four games were snowed out, and the one of the games that wasn't, I had something else, somewhere else I had to be. So I didn't get to see any baseball in Lansing in April, but there's always that possibility. So now you're here, you're in Florida, you're getting ready, you've got some things to get ready for. What are you focusing on now?
Well, I'm just trying to elevate my game this year. So I've been working on Rock and trying to steal, just working on steal more bases and working on my power just to become more of a complete player.
And do you have any goals for this year?
Goals for this year? As of right now, I haven't put together goals, but my goals are just to go out there, play hard every day, and to make sure that I better myself every day so I get closer and closer to my ultimate goal.
Now, so, you know, some of our listeners want to see something, you know, beyond, or want to listen to and hear something beyond the field. So what can you tell our listeners something about yourself, how you spend your time, you know, in the off season, how you spend your time when you're, you know, off away from the field, getting away from baseball? What do you like to do?
Oh, well, number one thing I love to do is me and my grandfather are movie buffs, so we love to watch movies. Anything that good that comes out. Recently got into a lot of shows. I love the Netflix shows like Daredevil, Luke Cage, stuff like that. And kind of big into the PS4, like 2K16. I love basketball. So aside from baseball, when off season comes, it's just all basketball for me. Just going to games and watching games, playing games on video games. That's another thing I love.
Well, that's great. And it's great that you have that relationship with your grandfather. What movies have come out that you've talked to your grandfather about lately?
There's a bunch of them, but one of the recent ones we've seen together was The Accountant. I thought that was a pretty sick movie. My grandfather's seen it, but I've seen Get Out. That was kind of crazy. Well, pretty much anything good. I kind of like superhero movies too, somewhat. But a lot of action movies is more so what I'm into.
All right. So if you had to sort of take your personality, and if you were a superhero or an action hero, who would you be?
Oh, I think about this all the time. If I was a superhero, I mean, my man's Batman. I love Batman. But, maybe I can say Batman comes from Gotham, kind of New York City, comes out of nowhere, not really known, and then shows up on the scene doing damage. I kind of like the idea of that.
All right, so that's Josh Palacios. Josh is going to try to do damage this season wherever he goes with the bat and prevent damage with his glove in the outfield. Thanks very much for joining us, Josh.
I appreciate it.
Up your hands, higher, higher, raise up your hands, higher, higher, raise up your hands, higher, higher, raise.
Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm joined by Tyler Olander, minor league pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So, Tyler, let's start, you know, from, I guess, a lot of people may have heard your name and may know that you're around playing baseball, but you were obviously playing another sport for a while. Can you tell our listeners about that a little bit?
I've been playing basketball for most of my life. I played baseball up until about eighth grade, and then just focused on basketball through high school, and I went to college at UConn and played there for 4 years, and then I played a year and a half professionally in Europe, and then decided to try baseball out.
So, I mean, that's a very modest and a very quick summary of your experiences playing basketball. So, obviously, you're a tall guy. You're about 6'9", 6'10". What position did you play when you were playing at UConn?
I played power forward and center a bit.
And how would you describe your game on the basketball court?
Mid-range game, you know, just had a good mid-range shot and just was a good role player, played my role pretty well.
Now, UConn is really well known for its basketball program, especially the men's and the women's program. I've heard that the women's team hasn't lost in about 100 and some odd games, and they're, you know, pretty much the dominant force in women's NCAA basketball. How did you, you know, feel at that school as a basketball player? You know, can you tell us sort of the relationship to the school, the relationship to the women's team in terms of how the men's team followed the women's team? Because I think, you know, the NCAA tournament's going on right now, and, you know, maybe you can give our listeners some insight.
You know, UConn, they just created a real basketball culture, a championship culture, which is something, you know, that's always great to be a part of. You know, you have guys like Ray Allen, the greatest three-point shooter in NBA history, coming back and talking to you. So there's just so much, you know, rich history and at that school in terms of basketball. And it translates beyond that. You know, off the court, you just become a real professional. You learn how to be a championship work ethic in everything that you do.
Now, you say a championship work ethic, and you actually did have a chance to contribute to that UConn history by winning a national championship there while you were playing. You know, what's that like being on a championship team? Does it feel different than a team that maybe doesn't quite get there?
It kind of does, but, you know, being a part of that and then championship and then going to a different team, you kind of take what you learned and what you felt were the keys to success and try and take that with you, and that becomes a part of you, and you spread that to wherever you go. So you just try and raise the level of everybody around you to a championship level at all times. And, you know, being a part of championships, you get to experience that and then share that. So
now, I mean, I know what it's like because I actually lived in Europe for a year, but what's it like for you as a, you know, newly out of college, you go to Lithuania, I believe, to play basketball. What was it like there, and how's your Lithuanian?
My Lithuanian is a little shaky. It was all right when I was there, but I forgot a bit. But right out of college, going to Europe, it was just a great experience. You know, I think it's something that a lot of people like want to try to do, and just the fact that I got to do it, doing something I love and experience Europe, and we traveled a few different places around Europe. It was just a great experience that you just try and take it all in, and it really reminds you that, you know, there's bigger things than sports, but sports can take you many places.
Now, what was your favorite part of Europe? What was your favorite spot, somewhere that you think, you know what, I need to come back here someday?
Well, my second year, I was only there for a month before I broke my foot, but I was in Spain, and I got to go to San Sebastian, which was a really cool, different culture that not many people know called Basque culture. It's like a real mix of Spanish and French culture, so it was a really interesting place. I liked it there a lot.
Now, you mentioned that you broke your foot, and from what I've read, that seemed to sort of be the beginning of the end of your basketball career when you tried to rehab it. What was that decision like? What was that, you know, where when you went along those lines of thinking, how am I coming back from this? And when did you sort of decide maybe that's enough basketball, maybe it's too hard on your body? And when did you decide to look into baseball as a possible option?
Baseball had always been something that had been like in my mind, kind of something I've always wanted to give it a try, and it just gave me the opportunity, and it was just really in my heart, so I went with it. And you know, it was just, why not? You know, I wanted to try something that it was a big challenge, something that I was going to have to put a lot of my attention and effort into, just to see where it could take me. And, you know, I think basketball wise I had kind of reached the the potential, my full potential there, and got the most out of it, and I had great experiences. But I think it was just really time to set my focus on something new that was going to be a huge task, you know, huge mountain to climb, but you know, strapped my boots on and went for it.
So what was the process like trying to change gears like that? What did you do when you, I guess you returned to the U.S. And started to focus on baseball?
Yeah, I got in contact with a pitching coach named Andy Balak, who's just been, you know, beyond helpful to me. You know, just gave me everything I needed in terms of getting into a baseball mindset, getting my arm ready, getting my body ready. Which last year I wasn't in great shape because I was still rehabbing my foot for most of the time when I got down here. I only got into a couple games this year, but this past off season, me and Mr. Balak worked very closely with one another, and you know, got my body in great shape, got my arm in better shape, and I just came down more prepared. So the mindset is just focus and really pay attention to every detail and be the best you can when you come down here so that you're ready.
And so what's that journey coming to baseball and playing professionally and you know, spending your time here at the Blue Jays camp last year and getting into some GCL games and then even the off season this year and even into spring training, you know, what's that journey been like from a baseball perspective?
It's been really awesome for me because I started, you know, pretty much fresh, right, on a blank slate, and it's been, you get to take huge leaps and bounds, you know, pretty quick compared to these guys who are already, you know, pretty polished here. So their progress is a little smaller than mine. So that's been cool to see and encouraging. Like, you know, when you accomplish something big, you know, from where you started to where you're at now, it's easy to look back in just 1 year. So it's been really encouraging. You know, the Blue Jays have been an awesome organization to be with, you know, just from management, training, coaches, just the players that they bring in. It's just been, you know, an unbelievable experience for me.
Is there any particular coach here that you feel like you've gotten a lot from?
You know, to be really honest, every person that you come in contact with here has something great to offer. You know, there's you know, veteran guys, there's guys who have just been around the game for so long who can just, you know, tell you so much, you can just see so much. You know, one of the big guys who's helped me a lot was Gavin Floyd when he was down here rehabbing. He just saw me throwing one day and he came up to me, and from that day on, he literally talked to me every day. And, you know, he's a veteran guy and he's had a lot of success. And so he just gave me pointer after pointer after pointer. And that was amazing.
Now, is there somebody that you sort of look up to from a pitching perspective, someone that you try to model your game after?
Not really. Not growing up, I loved Randy Johnson, but obviously he throws like 100 miles an hour, and I just don't, you know, touch a 90 maybe. And so he was a guy I looked up to now, but nowadays I look up to Chris Young. You know, even though he's right-handed, he's 6'9". And, you know, he's had a great success with the Royals and a great career. And he doesn't throw that hard either. But, you know, so that just shows you that you don't have to. You can use your tools like being tall and being left-handed to be successful.
So obviously there's like that tall lefty type of mentality. So what types of pitches are you throwing these days?
I throw a four-seam fastball, a two-seam fastball, a changeup, and a slider right now.
And which of those pitches would you say is your best pitch right now?
Honestly, I think I'm still developing most pitches. Last year I had most success with my two-seam fastball. It just had some good sink, good movement. But, you know, I'm trying to get a better feel for my off-speed, you know, my changeup and my slider. Just still developing those.
Now, I've heard that you're sort of rehabbing, working your way back to game shape right now. When do you think you're going to be able to get into some of the games? When do you think you'll be able to really, you know, turn things on and turn things up?
Real soon. I threw my first bullpen back yesterday. I'll throw another one on Wednesday, and then after that a live batting practice, and after that get into games, hopefully.
Do you have any goals for the season? Anything that you really think you can work towards this season?
You know, I'm just trying to get better every day. I'm trying to get my teammates better. You know, just be the best teammate, be the best person I can be every day, work hard at every task that's put in front of me, and just trying to be the best at that in the moment, and I think everything else will kind of take care of themselves.
Great. Well, that's Tyler Olander, pitcher, left-handed pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system, and we're going to let him get on with his day because it's lunchtime right now. So have a great day, Tyler.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's it for episode number 60 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Josh Palacios and Tyler Olander for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back soon and go Jays go.